I just want to thank you for the privilege to be with you tonight. And also, I can remember 20 years ago. 20 years ago, that's a lot of years. And when I'm thinking 20 years ago, I kind of feel old. And 20 years ago, I came to the first Allegheny District Conference, the first one I came to. And I just got out of seminary. And at that time, I had the passion to go to Haiti and to plant churches and to do whatever God wanted us to do. And I just want to thank many of you throughout those 20 years who have been behind us, praying for us, supporting us. And it makes it more special that we are here at Lens, because my children always talk about the Lens ladies. There are some Lens ladies who have been very nice to my children over the years. And even my older daughter, whenever I told her that I'm going to Lens, she said, "Oh, I wish I could go with you. I remember the Lens ladies." And that was back in 1993, 20 years ago. And I left and went to Haiti, and I know that I was going to plant the church. I know I wanted to preach the gospel. I had the desire to preach the gospel, but we didn't know what God had in store for us. And during those 20 years, we have gone to 2 military invasions. The United States invaded Haiti in 1994. Because there was a president, they gave a coup d'etat, and the U.S. Army took that president back. And we were there. In 2004, the U.N. took over Haiti. And they brought like 15 to 20,000 U.N. soldiers. And they are still there. Maybe at least 12,000 still there since 2004. And in 2004, before the U.N. came, there was a rebel takeover. So we have gone through that. We have gone to 2 major hurricanes. One of them in 2004 that killed over 3,000 people. And one in 2008 that killed many more than that. We have been to 1 major earthquake in January 12, 2010, that killed thousands of people. There's some people say close to 500,000, and then make at least 500,000 people homeless. And then in 2010, again at the end of 2010, there was what we call a cholera outbreak in the country. So we have gone through all these. But when we are thinking about all these developments, all these sad situations, and you keep on thinking, this is an impossible situation, because seeing people dying and hearing the guns and everything. Through all of this, we have seen God's power. And this is what excites me. And some people say, why are you in Haiti in spite of this circumstance, that circumstance? It's because through all of these circumstances, we see God's power. And then, when we talk about the military invasion, rebel takeover, a major hurricane, earthquake and all of that, in spite of that, we can say, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Maybe if it was an easy situation, we could say that we did it because we just came out and just did it. But because it was so difficult, so impossible, now we can say that God did it. You know? And he's doing it to the power that works in us, like you say in Ephesians chapter 3. This is why one thing that is so difficult. Do you know how difficult it is to speak to pastors? Yeah, because there is nothing that I'm going to say that you don't know. Because you are pastors. You know? And this is like two or three years ago, I had there was a funeral of a pastor. And that pastor got run over while he was riding a motorcycle. He got run over by a bus. And they called me and told me about the circumstance. And I was supposed to be the one preaching at the funeral. And I didn't mind doing it, but when I see that most of the pastors in northern Haiti were going to be there, and then what do you do when you are in front of a bunch of pastors? I can understand when you are with the regular church people, you can pull something out of the scripture and share it with them, but when you are with pastors, and what did I do at that funeral? At that funeral, I just say, okay, what we are going to do, when I'm with pastors, I talk about God. So we're going to talk about God. So we talk about God. At that funeral, I talk about the throne of God in Revelation 4. I talk to the people about now that the pastor is in heaven. What is he looking at? How is it being before the throne of God? And then your pastor is screaming, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And that was a very positive experience that I had with the pastors. Today what I want to tell you, pastors, I want to tell you that God changes the lives of people. That's what I want to tell you. So maybe all ministry is about is changing lives. Seeing people go from step A to step B and seeing the impossible in people's lives, I am seeing that how you can take somebody right on the street and share the gospel with him and make that person become holy, and the gospel, the blood of Jesus Christ, removing guilt. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansing people. And that's what excites me about being a pastor. To see changes. When I was talking to one of the men from my church, and he was thinking that he was more spiritual than I am. And he was boasting about it. And I told him, do you remember how you were when I got you 4 years ago? And then you start thinking, oh yeah. I say, you know, what the gospel does to you, it changes you, it cleanses you. The power of the gospel, that's all ministry is about, is that changing lives. And if there is something that can excite us today to go back to our churches, is the way that we have invested ourselves in people and see the circumstances, their life change in the right direction. And God changes lives one at a time. That's what I like it. One at a time. You know, like you see, one person being changed this week, next week another one, next week another one, and he's doing his work until you start building a church and you start. And that's what I like about church planting. That's what I like about church planting. You see four people start coming. Next week you see six. Maybe in a month you see 10. In another month you see 15. And people's lives are being changed. And God is doing His work in them. From children to adults, God changes lives. From the rich to the poor, God changes lives. From black to whites and all ethnic background, God is changing lives. From all over the world, God stands in the heaven, showing His power to the world and changing lives. And everything He does is with the intent of bringing glory to Himself. That's with the intent of bringing glory to Himself. It's like you're saying that, God, I want you to use me. I want you to use me. I want you to use me, and for one reason, to bring glory to Yourself. That's all I want, to bring glory to Yourself. I don't care how You use me. I don't care how much You do with me. I don't care what the means You use, but I just want You to use me to bring glory to Yourself. When we look at the book of Ephesians, and I'm talking about pastors, I don't even have to open it because all of you know it. The book of Ephesians, in verse 1, verse 12, chapter 1, verse 12, talks about, in verse 12, according to the praise of His glory. And verse 6, according to the praise of the glory of His grace. Chapter 2, verse 4, God who is rich in mercy. Chapter 2, verse 4, who works according to the great love with which He loves us. And then according to the riches of His grace. Verse 3, chapter 3, verse 16, the riches of His glory. You know, there is some powerful things. And we're seeing that basically what we are doing as pastors, going into the world, going to Haiti, going all over Pennsylvania, Ohio, and wherever else, it's unlocking the power of God. His mercy, His grace. And now all these elements produce together changes in the lives of people. And, you know, we are out for a big challenge. This is a big challenge. And being in ministry, I've learned that's a big challenge. When I wanted to start in ministry, I was so excited to get into it. And then after a while, you see what you get yourself into. How many times, laying on my bed, I tell my wife, I wish I was a doctor. I wish I went to engineering school. I wish I... You know? And complaining and say that, man, I wish I did something else. When you meet the challenges. And sometimes the challenges you meet is to give you a chance to unlock the power of God. And you know, in Matthew chapter 4, news spread about Christ all over Syria. And people brought to Him all who were sick with various diseases. People who were suffering severe pain, people who were demon-possessed, people who were having seizures, people who were paralyzed, and there were all these kind of people they brought to Christ. And when you compare that with Luke chapter 1, verse 2, where the Bible says that you see that the same circumstance, Jesus traveled from one town to another town, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with Him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirit and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. And because of demon possession, those people, they had severe mental illness. And there are certain behavior that people have. And sometimes we don't understand them. They're very bizarre. But it's because they are so much in bondage. And it just the power of God only can change them. It's only the power of God can change them. How can somebody just go and sell her body on the street as a prostitute and catch all kind of disease? That because of blindness, satanic blindness, that caused a person to go and destroy himself. In Haiti, I was talking to a girl. She's 14. And she's working full-time as a prostitute so she could feed herself. And I talked to the mother. The mother wasn't against that because when she go out and work, that brings food for the whole house. And I can remember talking to that girl and share the gospel with her. And she got saved. She came to our school. She came to our church in Bira. She was singing in the choir. And she became a new person. And I'm telling you that only the power of God can do that. Only the power of God can do that. And this is why we get excited about God's power. We should get excited about God's power. When we get discouraged, we think of God's power because we know that we are selling the best product in the market. That's what gets you excited about your business, because you know you have the best business in the market. And you are thinking about the condition of the world. The condition of the world. Like chapter 2, verse 11. Remember, formerly you were Gentile by birth. You were called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision. You were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenant of promise. Verse 19, chapter 2, verse 19. You were foreigners, aliens. But in chapter 4, verse 18, I tell you this, and that you must no longer live. You are living like Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Men are ignorant, and because of that, they just do anything that pleases them, and they are darkened to the fact that they are destroying themselves, they're killing themselves, and they have not been in touch with the power of God. When you go to verse 25, chapter 4, it continues to talk about, like say, all the man has to show for his lying, falsehood, anger, giving the devil a foothold. That's what we have to deal with. You know, like there was a woman in our who came to our church, and she was bleeding for. She told us that she gave a testimony. She was bleeding for more than 3 years, and she has been to all kind of gynecologists in Dominican Republic, in Haiti, she was just hopeless. When she found Jesus Christ, we prayed with her. And she was telling us that ever since she was a little child, a soul had been sold to the devil. And when we took that girl, we prayed with her. We fast over her. And now she's giving testimony in the church that I don't know what happened, but I have been healed. And I'm not charismatic, but I believe in the power of God. There is a man in the earthquake there was a big building, a three-story building that collapsed. And that man was under the building for 5 days. They thought that they did all the search and they didn't think there was anybody under that building because the way that building was messed up. And this man is a member of our church who went to Port-au-Prince to do a passport. And his family didn't know where he was. But 5 days after the earthquake, somebody was going by and heard him coughing. And they said, oh, there is somebody under that. They took him out of that mess and took him to the hospital. I can remember that Sunday afternoon I went to visit him. And right away the doctor said they had to cut his leg because his leg was so rotten. And they felt like they probably had to cut a second one. And then with some money that VOHM provided, we get him on an airplane and flew him to the Dominican Republic because the doctors in Haiti say that it's not worth doing any surgery for him because he's already done. And you know what? This man, he went to the Dominican Republic. They took care of him. They had to cut both legs, but they put they gave him away so he might be able to walk, you know. And they cut both his legs, but he is able to walk with I don't know how you call them. And then he is singing the praise of God. And this man, he just put out an album and he's singing how God has reached him. And if it wasn't because of God, if it wasn't because of the servant of God, he would have been, you know, he would have been gone already. That's the kind of thing about the power of God. To see people who are hopeless. And with the power of God, and these people now have hope. You know, the world is suffering with hopeless situation. There is a woman who came to our church, and she was explaining to me what her testimony was. That woman has seven children for seven fathers. I said, how that happened to you? She said she had the first one when she was a teenager. And then that man left her. Then another man came along and said that, oh, I take care of you. Come on, da 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 da. Child number two. And he left her. Then another man came. I said, I'll help you with your two children. Child number three. And she went through that situation until she has like seven children with seven men. Now she's saying that I can't, you know, now that's enough. I need to get saved. I need Jesus in my life. And she came and trusted Christ. Now she has hope. She has been baptized. And she's a new creation in Jesus Christ. You know, so what myself as a pastor, yourself as a pastor, now you are going into the situation of preaching the gospel. I know all of you are equipped with the knowledge of God. If I ask you, if I want to have a quiz, give a quiz right now, and ask you to tell me about God, And I think that everybody would pass the test. You start talking about the omnipotence of God, the omnipresence of God, and the sovereignty of God. Everybody, like you, just recite all that stuff you learn at Trinity and wherever you went. So that's what's going to happen. Like, say, if I tell you to tell me about God. And, you know, one thing is that when you start talking about God, and when you have your back against the wall, I find out that what I learned in seminary doesn't do anything for me. You know, I think it does something maybe when I'm in the pulpit, but when you have your back against the wall. And the thing is like, say, but I need it. What I need as a pastor, what you need as a pastor, is that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that being rooted and established in love, you may be able to comprehend. You may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. And what you need, what I need, what you need as a pastor is to be able to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's what you need today, the fullness of God. And that's what I need, the fullness of God. And how do you get the fullness of God? To get the fullness of God, you have to be connected to the power source. And a lot of time that there is no power in our churches because we are not connected to the power source. There is no power in our family because we are not connected to the power source. You know, in Luke chapter 24, I see the example of the disciple walking on the road of Emmaus. When the disciple were walking on the road of Emmaus in Luke 24, when you are looking at the story, Jesus came in verse 15 and was walking alongside them. But they could not recognize Jesus. And in the French Bible, it says something different. In the French Bible, Louis Segond, he said that their eyes were kind of shut, were blind. They could not see the power of God. And in fact, if you go in verse 31, when they sat with Christ on the table, the Bible says, then their eyes were open. And they recognize the power of God. And what you're looking for your church is there. But for some reason, you are blinded. You cannot see the power of God. You may be blinded, in a sense. And you can't see the power of God. And this is why today we need to ask God to open our eyes, that we might see His power. That we might understand who He is. And that way we might be able to have like a maximum impact in the lives of people. We need to ask God to open our eyes. And then once our eyes were open, when these guys' eyes were open and they saw who Christ was, I like verse 32. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. He said, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" Our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road. Were not our hearts burn within us? Have you come to the point in your pastoral ministry where you have an experience with God, where you feel like your hearts are burning within you? When your heart burning within you, that's when your heart beat with a passion to hear the voice of God. That's when your heart beat with a passion to hear the voice of God, and as they repent for the water brooks, you feel like you need God. You want Him. You want to get close to Him. And then you want to talk to Him and say, "Lord, I want to see You. I want to touch You. I want to hug You. I want to love You. I want to serve You. I want to obey You. I want to be Your best friend. I want to speak to You in the silent chamber of my heart. Lord, I want You." You know, in the mid-2000s, when there was a time when I was very discouraged, There was a time I was very discouraged. And I was so discouraged, I told my wife, I want to quit. And I didn't say I want to quit like that because I said, you know, I feel like I want to go back to the States. I want to go to the States, find something else to do, change pace. You know, that's what you don't want to say. Your pride want to stop us to say, I want to quit. You don't want to say, I want to quit. Well, because people are going to call you a quitter. But you say that, I want to change pace. I want to do something else. I was having a meeting with the leaders of the church in Cap Haitian. There was something that I said that I should not have said. There was something that they said that they should not have said. I went home discouraged. And I felt like, I don't want to do this anymore. I said, why in the world did I get into it in the first place? I said, I'm not very smart for getting into this thing. I wasn't too smart. And that's when I realized it didn't take. The next day I went by the ocean and I sat in the truck and I was watching the ocean. And I sat thinking with tears on my eyes. I sat realizing that the power cable was not plugged and that somehow there was something that tripped over the power cable and I need to get back to the power source. And we started a prayer meeting in the church. Every Wednesday, people start praying with us. That prayer meeting, that's the most, that's the service that we have more people participating in. We have it in the yard of the church every afternoon, every Wednesday afternoon at 5. And this is something that are over 1,000 people coming to pray. And after a while, I felt like, you know, Jesus told Nicodemus to be born again, but I felt like I was born again already. I felt like I was born again. And I start understanding what it means to be filled with the fullness of God. Knowing God is learning to be strong inside. Knowing God is allowing the Holy Spirit to work in the transformation of my heart, my mind, my soul, my wills, and my personality. Knowing God in the midst of trouble, in the midst of problem, to have peace. Knowing God is having the confidence to know that whatever work God begun in me, He will fulfill it. So with confidence, I am willing to preach the word in season and out of season. Knowing God is experiencing His presence at a very high level. Knowing the fullness of God is letting the fruits of the Spirit flow through me. So once I am connected to the power source, once I am experiencing the fullness of God, now I can get people to the reality of a personal connection with the power source. It's a common, you see, I'm plugged, now I can, you know, it's like a Wi-Fi. You know, the computer has to be on for the Wi-Fi to transmit the signal that has an internet signal. Otherwise, you're going to have on your computer is going to say, yeah, you have Netgear, but no internet access. Right? And that's what happened in the church. No internet access, no access to power, because we who must give that power, who must transmit that power to people's life, if we are not connected, then we're spinning our wheels. And so the first thing is that we have to be very healthy leaders. So that way, we might help our people to be healthy. We might be connected, so we might help them to be connected. You know, like there are some things that are happening in our church. Like, there are a bunch of people who are coming to know Jesus over the past years. Over the past many years, there are a bunch of people who are coming to know Jesus. Like, say, December 31st, 2011, we baptized like over 85 people. When you come back December in May 2012, we baptized over 70. This past December, we baptized like 87. Now we have like over 60 who are going to be baptized within the next 2 weeks. People who are coming to know Jesus and who get saved. Now we tell them that, say, hey, you get saved And you have been living together, you need to get married. So I tell them, in fact, like say, I tell the people that before you get baptized, you want to show me that you are a Christian. If you have been living together, before I even baptize you, you get married. And I do like group marriages. I do group marriages. We say that you get married, just get your own clothes, come to the church, and the church do the reception. And sometimes I have had friends, pastors in the States that I call and I say, can you go to Walmart and buy me those cheap rings that some people sent me, like one time where there was somebody who sent me 15 of them because I had 15 weddings. And you see all of them sitting there and I'm marrying all kind of people because you come, you get saved, you want to prove that you are a Christian, now you get out of sin. Now you want to get connected. We had 13 of them this past December. You know, that doesn't take into account the people who kind of don't want to get married. There are some of them who kind of chicken. They don't want to get married. Like with all these people, they want to have their own at their house. So I would go to their house and do it. You know, one of the exciting things this past December, as I was doing that wedding, I had the TV station in Cape Haitian that came and broadcast that. They wanted to know why we were doing that. And they broadcast it. And they're coming now to many of our services, mostly on Sunday morning. They tape our service and broadcast it during the week. In fact, the Sunday morning service, they might show it like several times during the week. But we have people gain spiritual liberty. But for them to get spiritual liberty, we ourselves have to be free. We have to be free to help people get free. You know? So one thing I can challenge you as a pastor is that you need to really look yourself in the mirror and see, ask yourself the question, am I connected to the power source? And this is the only question you are the only person who can answer that for yourself. And then, as we are demonstrating God's glory, as we are filled with the fullness of God, as we are bringing people to the reality of a personal connection with the power source, that's when we can come and say truly unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto Him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus. You see, like, ministry is not really something that is too hard. All it is get connected. You know? And that's the hard thing. So, I just want to challenge you to renew your relationship with Christ every day and get connected every day. And when things get tough, get rough, maybe do a self-evaluation in the light of your relationship with the Savior. And maybe something trip over the power cord and we want to get it back plugged in. And unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we can give God the glory. Let's pray. Lord, we give You the glory for what You are doing. We give You the glory for working in our lives. We give You the glory for working in other people's lives. Humbly, Lord, we come before You tonight. Touch our hearts. Touch every pastor's heart. May Your grace be felt in their lives in the midst of the struggle. And may Your Spirit shower them tonight. And unto You be glory. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.